My name is Jerry Bogwa, and I'm the host of Crime and Consequences Kenya, a true crime podcast where we tell the life stories of our victims, who they were, what happened to them, and why they still matter. This episode contains discussions of the death of a minor. Listener discretion is strongly advised. Some content may be distressing or triggering, especially to those who have experienced loss or trauma related to children. If you're sensitive to topics involving harm to minors or child loss, please consider whether you wish to continue listening to this episode. Thank you. Our players today are JW, the victim, Evelyn, mother of Picho, the mother of JW and the accused murderer in this case, and John Karani, the father of JW and the boyfriend of Evelyn at the time that this incident happened. So this case takes place in Athi River County, December 2016. John and Evelyn had been in a long-distance relationship for an unspecified amount of time, and they had a child together who is identified as JW in this case. It wasn't until July of 2016 that the two of them had a conversation and decided that, you know what, it's actually better for us to be raising our child together in the same place. So on July 2nd of 2016, John sends Evelyn some fare and she travels with their child to his home in Athi River, and the two of them start living together as a happy little family. So a couple months go by, and now we're in December 7th, 2016. Evelyn has gotten a job, and so she works during the day, and then John works night shifts. So Evelyn gets off work at around 4 p.m. and comes home to John and JW. John at the time, who was working night shifts, when she was coming in, he was getting ready to go out and leave for work. But before he leaves, the two of them have an argument. It isn't specified what they argued about, but I can imagine, you know, probably raising a toddler, one parent having to work in the morning, the other parent has to work in the evening. It could bring about a lot of chaos in the house, I'm guessing. So the two of them fight before John leaves for work. Now, before John goes, he tells Evelyn that, you know what, it's just not working out and you're gonna have to take the child and go back to the village. And then he goes to work. According to Evelyn, after John leaves home at 2.5 hours later, at around 6:30 p.m., she says that JW leaves the house and he goes to outside to play with his friends, and that is the last time that she sees him, at all. So after a while, it's getting dark, her child does not come back home. She starts going to the neighbors and she's like, hey, my child came out to play and he's not come back home, have you seen him? And all the neighbors are like, no, I'm sorry, I haven't seen him, we can help you look, but like, I haven't seen your child. A new player comes into the story at this point, and his name is John Ekesa. Now, John Ekesa lived in the same area as John Karani, who is the father of JW, and Evelyn, who is the mother of JW. So there are two Johns now. Now, John said that he sees Evelyn burning something at the dumping site, and he doesn't really think too much about it. You know, it's not weird for people to be burning their garbage at a dumping site. But then later, when he visits the same spot that he saw Evelyn, he discovered the body of an infant. Now, the next day on December 8th, another player named Emily Atieno Ochanda also somehow ends up in the same spot where Evelyn was dumping trash the previous night, and she again sees the body of an infant and it's burnt completely beyond recognition. And she's like, oh no, I have to tell somebody. So she rushes and she finds her husband. Her husband was called Innocent Otieno Ochieng, and tells Innocent that, hey, I was just over there trying to dump some trash and I just saw a body. And so Innocent is like, we have to tell somebody, we have to tell people. And so they alert other people about the burnt body. Somehow, John, who I'm assuming is still at work or is on his way home at this time, I'm not really sure, but he gets word that the body of an infant had been found at the dumping site. And then when he eventually gets home, Evelyn is not missing. After some time, he gets a text from Evelyn, and Evelyn texts him and says that, I have committed a sin, and she's disappeared. So now I'm thinking he's starting to piece everything together. He's like, there is the body of an infant right there. I came back home, she's not here, my child is not here, and now this text. Now, still on December 8th, there was an officer on patrol within Sabaki area, and his name was Corporal Rayton Binji Omutere, and he received a report that there were residents of an area who had discovered the body of an infant that had been burnt beyond recognition. So he goes to the crime scene. He confirms that it is indeed the body of a human being. And so he calls CSI and they come and they collect the body. Remember, Evelyn is still missing. And at this point, I'm assuming John is completely distressed. Like, where is my wife? Where is my child? What is happening? You know, because when somebody tells you, I've committed a sin, like, what does that mean? Like, what do you mean? Like, I need more information. What do you mean you've committed a sin? You know, they're just telling me that they found the body of a child right there. You're missing. The child is missing. Like, I'm sure John's state of mind was in complete, you know, disarray. Because of all the people who had, well, there was just one person who saw Evelyn actually do it. But 2 days later, I'm assuming the police pieced together all the context clues. 2 days later, on December 10th of 2016, Evelyn was arrested for the murder of her child. As I said, JW's body had been burnt beyond recognition, and so a DNA analysis needed to be conducted for them to really be sure that this was JW. Because remember, Evelyn was saying that he went to play and then that's the last time that I saw him, you know, and then they found this body, but they can't just look at it and be like, oh, this is so and so. So on December 15th of 2016, DNA samples were collected from Evelyn and they were sent over to a government analyst who was identified as Henry Kiptoo Sang. And after he did his analysis, he came back and he said there was a 99.99% chance that Evelyn was the biological mother of JW. Dr. Witheragi Dendu carried out a post-mortem on JW on 23rd May 2017, and she stated that she found the body had been completely burnt beyond recognition and it had a missing leg. They used, of course, as we've said, they used DNA samples from Evelyn to identify who this person was, and she formed the opinion that the cause of death was 80% fourth degree thermal burn. So she literally burnt her child to death. I just thinking about it is making me feel I can't imagine it. Anyway, so now we're in May 12, 2020. This is 4 years after the murder. The court found that they had a prima facie case against Evelyn, and prima facie basically means that the evidence that had been presented to the court was enough for them to proceed to trial. Now, because it was 2020 and COVID was happening and everything, they had a Skype hearing on 8th July of 2020, and Evelyn stated her defense, and she basically said that she had not killed and burnt her child. She says that the last time that she saw JW was on 6:30. December 7th, when he said that he had gone out to play and he never came back home. She says that it was only when she was arrested on December 10th that she learned that A, JW had died, and B, that he had been burnt. So she's like, I had nothing to do with this. I was grieving. I had just, you know, my child had gone missing, and now people come and arrest me 2 days later and then they tell me that I've killed him. So that was basically her whole defense. She also refuted the DNA analysis that claimed that the body of the infant that had been found was her child, you know, because remember they said there was a 99.99% chance that Evelyn was the mother, and she completely refutes that claim. Also, in her defense, Evelyn refuted that this was a claim that was being brought against her by the prosecution, and they say that she killed her son because of the disagreement that she had with John on December 7th before he left for work. And she's like, you guys are completely wrong. I would never kill my child because of a man. Her lawyers also claimed that the prosecution had failed to prove their case beyond reasonable doubt. Now, according to the prosecution, they say that A, we have a witness who would place you at the crime scene where you were pretending to be burning Lita, where you were in fact burning your own child. B, we have the text message that you sent to John saying that you had committed a sin. And 3, you went missing immediately after this crime happened. That is very, very weird. You're acting like a guilty person. Now, the case was, and also the prosecution also said, we also have DNA analysis that proves that you are the mother of this child. So when we add 1 + 1, we get 2, and it seems like you're the killer in this case. The case was heard before Judge D.K. Kemei, who in delivering his ruling stated, and I quote, The accused had tried to disguise the killing by camouflaging it to appear like she was burning rubbish, while in actual fact she was burning her own child. The accused, upon being spurned by her boyfriend, felt cheated and betrayed and thus resorted to eliminating the disease so as to pursue her love life without any hindrance. I am satisfied that she had malice after that and was placed at the crime, at the scene of the crime. End quote. So this basically means that the judge was agreeing with the prosecution's claim that Evelyn had killed her son because of the disagreement that she had with GW. No, sorry, because of the disagreement that she had with John. And maybe she felt like that, you know, if we don't have a child to take care of, then our relationship is going to survive. You know, so the judge was like, you know, I believe that it was you who was seen at that crime, and I believe that it is you who burned your child for your boyfriend. The judge also accused Evelyn of projecting a don't care attitude after JW went missing. He said, and I quote, "She projected a don't care attitude regarding the issue of her missing child by merely claiming the child went missing and that she was not able to leave. To locate the child. She did not even show any surprise upon the discovery of the child. A person who's traumatized about her missing child would be much more uptight than what she was exhibiting when giving her version of what transpired. What can be read from her evidence is that her reaction to the missing child was one of aloofness as to the whereabouts of the child, and she did not strike me as the one who was genuinely concerned about the child. It had also transpired that the accused and her boyfriend had some sort of misunderstanding prior to the incidents, as her boyfriend had instructed her to return back to the village, a suggestion which she did not like. It seems this drove her to the point of getting rid of her own child." End quote. Now, on whether Evelyn had malice afterthought, remember we said that malice afterthought is when you're charged with murder, basically they have to prove that A, you killed somebody, and B, you had malice afterthought. Malice afterthought means that when you were doing the actions that were leading to the death of this person, you actively knew as you were doing them that you were causing harm, and that that harm could eventually cause the death of the person to who you were doing whatever actions you were doing to them. So did you know what you were doing could lead to the death of this person is basically what malice afterthought is. So on whether Evelyn had malice afterthought, the judge states that the courts consider the nature of the weapon used, the parts of the body attacked, the number of times the weapon is used on the victim, and the conduct of the assailant before, during, and after the attack. So those are the factors that they put into consideration when they want to conclude or prove that you had malice afterthought or you did not have malice afterthought. Because remember, we have said in previous episodes that you can get your murder sentence reduced through the act of provocation. Provocation basically means that it was something, it's more like a crime of passion. It was in the heat of the moment. So as you were doing whatever you were doing, you were not doing it with like the intention to eventually kill that person. It's just that something happened, you reacted, and then somebody died. That is a case of provocation. The opposite of provocation is malice afterthought and murder. But I continue. The judge added that given the nature of the crime, it was clear that Evelyn intended to inflict upon JW grievous injuries which led to death, which basically proves malice afterthought. The judge said, and I quote, "It can be safely inferred that death was the desired outcome of whoever the assailant was. The act of snuffing of the life of the infant before burning it beyond recognition leaves no doubt that the accused had the requisite mens rea," and mens rea means guilty mind. "She must have clearly made a layout plan before executing it, and hence it was not a spontaneous reaction following a disagreement with her boyfriend. Her defense evidence did not shake that of the prosecution, which I find quite overwhelming against her." End quote. And because of this, on October 28th of 2020, Evelyn was found guilty for the murder of her child, JW, and was sentenced to the maximum punishment there is in Kenya, which is death. And that is the story of JW. And this was a really hard story when I was researching it, just because this was hard because, you know, first of all, it's a minor, it's a child. And second of all, the reason for Evelyn killing this child, I mean, for a man, girl, come on. And I'm not saying there wouldn't be any situation justifiable for killing an infant child, you know, somebody who had their whole life ahead of them. There's no justifiable reason for killing them, and especially killing them and then burning them. That seems like it's so malicious. Just how she did it and also how she reacted afterwards, that it's insane. It's insane to me. It's insane. This is one of those crimes where you're just like, oh my God, you know. And for a man, like for a man, ugh, no. This one, I definitely agree with the judge. I think she does not deserve a second chance to be reintegrated into society. I think that she should spend the rest of her natural and even unnatural life in prison. I honestly don't think that after she dies, she should be released from those prison walls. They should bury her somewhere in that prison. Just because this was so horrific, this was so uncalled for. And for a man, ugh, come on. Anyway, if you've gotten to the end of the episode, thank you so much for listening to me. I've really tried to power through this episode. My chest feels like somebody has sat on my chest. But I will wait before I go. Please rate me on Spotify. Give me 5 stars because I'm doing a good job. This goes such a long way in helping Spotify to push my content to more people. If you want to follow me on social media, you can find me on Instagram and TikTok. I'm thinking about opening a Facebook, but you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Crime and Cons, K-E, that's CRIMEANDCONSKE. On Instagram and TikTok, I try to do little snippets of this case, of just the cases that I cover at length here on Spotify, and I will see you guys next week. Okay, bye.